You're listening to episode 252 of Women Worldwide. It's 2020, and maybe getting heard and even getting referred is on your mind. It all starts with clarity. I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for showing up and for sharing as much as you do and for helping to grow our network. We're hearing from so many of you that the guests who come on the show are actually helping you to tackle your challenges. It's a new year, 2020. There's always going to be stepping out of the comfort zone, addressing challenges. And that's why our guests are so willing to share the highs and lows of their careers, but also get real and to let you know that they have challenges too and offer advice and actionable tips. So no matter where you are, don't ever feel like you are alone. And just know that we are trying to change lives one story at a time. Okay, let's get to the topic and the special guest. The topic is get heard and get referred. So think about it. How do you do that? Whether you're a small business or you're a larger company, you are a professional, an entrepreneur. It starts with, do you know your purpose? Do you have your message down pat? Does everybody understand what you do and why would they want to join you? Do you have clarity? Well, my special guest is Steve Woodruff. And Steve just happens to be the king of clarity. At least that's what he's known as. Steve is an entrepreneur. He's also a speaker and is the author of a recent book called Clarity Wins: Get Heard, Get Referred. And Steve comes to us. Steve, it is wonderful to have you on my show. We've known each other for years. So finally, you're on Women Worldwide. Welcome.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the invitation to speak to you again and your audience. We used to live not far from each other up in New Jersey for many years.
And we used to get together.
We used to get together on my back deck, actually, with a group of a little network we were building. And then I moved to Tennessee about 5.5 years ago. So we haven't seen as much of each other. But I keep seeing you pop up on LinkedIn or on the back of airplane seats doing interviews you're ubiquitous, dear.
Well, thank you. So you saw the United in-flight interview.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. Well, Steve, it's great to have you on the show. And, you know, I love the King of Clarity title that you have gained. And I know that that's all around your book and we're going to jump in. But maybe you can just tell us a little bit. I asked everybody who comes on the show, how did you get to this King of Clarity and launching this business and this book that you've written?
Now, like most of us, it's kind of a convoluted pathway. So when I started my own business 13 years ago, it was a pharmaceutical consulting business. And I was doing actually matchmaking between pharma commercial organizations and training providers, training companies, agencies, consultants, of which there are many dozens.
Yeah.
And I used to work for one of those outsourced companies for 10 years. And what I saw, Deirdre, was this massive problem that the companies did not differentiate or brand themselves well, did not have a good clear message. And a lot of the pharma companies didn't know how to select or work with vendors.
Right.
So I created a matchmaking and consultative business helping to improve vendor selection, vendor management, vendor relationships. And part of that became working with small companies on their branding. And it turns out that's kind of my area of genius.
Yeah, so and not just for all companies, not just pharmaceutical, but all companies.
Yeah, it started with training providers mm-hmm. that worked with pharma companies. And then it started morphing into people's careers, you know, and other size companies, brands, individuals, because all of it is branding. All of right. it is, let's get in touch with what you're best at. Let's figure out what the specific opportunity is best, where you fit. And then let's get the message straight. And that's what I love doing, working with individuals and companies to help position themselves and to speak it in a way that others can quickly hear it, understand it, and then give referrals, which, as we all know, referrals are the way to get great business. So my passion around the book and my passion around doing this sort of branding is, can we activate referrals to break through all the noise in the world?
Absolutely. So I just want to make mention, is it Clarity Fuel? Is that the company now that you have?
Yeah, I created this umbrella company called Clarity Fuel because everything that I do, I try to get companies and individuals fueled by clarity. Right. Not only clarity in their brand, but clarity in all the ways they communicate. And you, of course, and many of the people that know you, understand the value of clear communications.
Absolutely.
And as it turns out, clarity is not just a branding or a sales issue. It's all across the board. And if we are not getting through people's minds, getting into their memories, we're not communicating effectively. And that's a lot of lost opportunity.
Absolutely. I mean, you can be spinning your wheels forever. There's so much lost opportunity. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about the book, Clarity Wins. What are some of the, you know, who are you writing it for? And mm-hmm. maybe what are some of the main takeaways that will help listeners?
Most of my work has been aimed at small businesses and individuals, although the principles for clarity really apply across the board for everybody, every instance, you name it, teaching, parenting, you name it. Being able to communicate clearly is crucial for everything. But I've done a lot of my work with smaller businesses. And the main thesis I start with is that we live in an unbelievably noisy world. We are surrounded
getting worse.
by a tsunami. And so somehow we have to rise above that. Otherwise, we just sound like one of those penguins on an ice floe that you see in the nature program. You might see a penguin over my shoulder back there. He's one of my props. That we're just background noise until we can rise above. And the way we have to rise above has to do with some very foundational principles of brain science. And if we understand those foundational ways that the brain works, then we can break through. And the main point is that every person has what's called a reticular activating system in the brain, which serves as the filtering mechanism. The reticular activating system is always looking out for what's new, what's interesting, what's relevant, and what's surprising. Everything else gets filtered out in seconds, milliseconds sometimes. So what this means for all communication is if we don't grab attention and show relevance in the first 15 seconds, we're noise. We're just wow. out of there.
Steve, does this come down to more of the what you're saying, the tone of how you say it? Is it the format of how you deliver it when it comes to this particular activating system? Because
it's all of the above. So obviously, if you speak a foreign language, if I started speaking to you in Russian, you wouldn't understand it. So that would be a problem with form. Nope. If I started dull, stupid, you know, okay, right. We've got a problem there. If I start using a bunch of jargon or highly specialized language, I lose you.
Right.
So it comes down to speaking human, what I call speaking human, speaking in a way that regular people can relate to, using symbolic language, using illustrations, using stories, using little snippets, because that's what the brain wants. If we try to make people work too hard,
right,
they won't. There's no. Too much competition.
Right. It'll either go over their heads or be filtered completely out.
They'd rather watch Netflix than listen to me. So if I'm just giving you a bunch of nonsense, I mean, there are 50,000 other things that are more interesting than me, unless I can give you something that's at your radio station, WIIFM. I have to get to the what's in it for me rapidly.
Right.
Because that's what the reticular activating system is always tuned to. It's tuned to one radio station. What's in it for me?
WIIFM. We can remember that. That's really important.
If you think about it, Deirdre, this is the key to effective branding, sales, marketing, networking, teaching, all of it. I've got to somehow, in clear language, get a relevance point across to my audience rapidly, or I lose them.
Sure.
And if I can do that, then I have a chance of hooking something into their memory.
Right.
And when you think about this end result of referrals, how can I get referrals unless I've grabbed your attention?
Right, hooked in.
Gotten your interest, hooked in, given you something easy to remember and repeat. And the thing is, unless we do it, other people won't do it for us. They can't figure us out. We've got to figure us out.
But Steve, the WIIFF.
IFM. Yeah.
So there's just so many channels, though. I mean, you could take a look. And I used to say this all the time about our kids when they were growing up. They're all millennials now. But at any given time, you could have different channels open. So is it better to be in one place and really what's in it for me mode? Or is it to be in those different places, knowing that they could be there at the same time? How do you know where?
Well, I view channels as secondary. So I see getting to the point, getting to the real message, getting to the real strength, getting to exactly what we're supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be saying, and who we're saying it to. Once we define that, typically the channel question answers itself.
Got it.
So if I am trying to sell books to millennials, okay, I'm going to end up, if I have all that pretty clearly defined, I have a clearly defined target audience, I'm probably going to end up working a lot with Snapchat or Instagram or TikTok or some of these other things. If I'm selling wealth management solutions to retiring boomers, not that channel at all.
No.
I'm actually going to create more of a referral strategy, because these people are going to be listening to others of their peers at a certain level. I'm not going to worry about, you know, Instagram for those people. So a lot of what we do, instead of spinning our wheels just trying to make noise in lots of channels, is we've got to define very carefully who our target market is. And that often answers the question.
Right. So, you know, it's really interesting. You mentioned the clarity. I would bet that there are a lot of folks out there who think they already have this clarity.
Yeah.
Are there questions that you can ask about your business, yourself, if you're an entrepreneur, to kind of get to the clarity or to take first steps?
I have a piece of artwork I use all the time for people that think that they're clear. That is this, which says, you can't read the label of the jar you're in.
No, you can't.
The fact is that we're all subjective by nature. We think we're being clear because we have a whole bunch of knowledge, the curse of knowledge, Steven Pinker calls it, where we can think we're clear, but other people are not getting the message. And so it often takes somebody from the outside to help draw out the bits and pieces of information and arrange them in a way that makes sense to other human beings. I was on the phone with one of my longtime partners, someone I've known for a while. We've done clarity sessions together. We've co-marketed together. We hadn't caught up for a while. And I was on the phone with her yesterday. And it took us a good hour of really going back and forth on some of the different things we're doing now to really understand each other and get our messages straight again. And having that outside perspective, actually in both directions in this case, was really helpful in sharpening the message. So I need clarity just as much as everybody else. I go to outside people to help me get my message straight.
Right. And it's not you determine your clarity and you roll out with your brand and your messaging, and then you can get heard and get referred. It's a constant sharpening as
yes.
well.
And there's an evolution to it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what I do is I work with people on a half a day or a day, and we get to a sort of what I call an epiphany based, you know, here's where we're at. Here's the core message. Here's where you are. But you have to be aware that over time that's going to evolve and shift. And so clarity can be a bit of a process too, because markets change and we change and
people
circumstances
change.
Yeah.
Right.
So
technology
my business
changes.
Has morphed and your business has morphed over time. And so clarity is something that we can't just arrive at one time and think that's the end of it. But we do have to make a leap often from a state of confusion and doing too many things to a place where we go, here's the GPS, here's the destination, here's where we're going. And that clears a lot of the fog away.
Oh, that is so good to clear the fog. Steve, I'm going to ask you just to hold your thoughts for a moment. We're going to shift our focus to chat briefly about a project that it's a passion project I've been working on. And I think I told you after my stepdaughter passed away last year, I really, really wanted to talk to millennials to find out how they showed up in their conversations, what they value, how they wanted to be perceived, but most of all, what they needed from professionals. And one of the things that really popped out in a model that they've helped me to build is empathy and the empathetic leader. So the model is called FEEL. And it's face fears, engage with empathy, use ethics and good judgment, and unleash the love. And there is a test where everybody can go to see how much they feel and even test the empathy bucket. But I'd like to ask you, how do you apply emotional intelligence into what you do to build better relationships?
For me, it comes down to listening. And this is something that has been a passion of mine for a long time, that effective networking is really effective listening. It's asking good questions and shutting up. And in fact, I wrote a recent blog post about the two most effective questions you can ask in networking. And the one is, if we're aware that everybody needs to and wants to tell their story, then we just ask people for their story and we listen and ask more questions. And that creates a bond like nothing else. I love story asking. I love listening. And I love helping people actually discover more of who they are just because, again, you can't read the label of the jar you're in.
Exactly. That's so true. Listening is key. If you're not listening, I mean, that is literally the first step to ever get any perspective, understanding, to move towards some kind of empathy and compassion. So thank you so much for sharing that. And now I want to share with everybody where they can go to take the FEEL test. You can go to feelfirst.com and It's a test that's in four parts, all based on the acronym FEEL. There's 8 questions per part. And, you know, take the test because you actually get scored in each area. And if you need a little help with any area, whether it's facing fears or it's empathy or it's ethics or it's the love or your passion, the test recommends exercises that you can do. And, you know, our goal with this test is to find out how people feel and to get all of this good data. And we're analyzing it by age, generation, and profession. So feelfirsttest.com. Steve, thank you so much for answering that question. And let's dive back into our discussion, because I think it's important for the King of Clarity to chat a little bit about how you actually found your own clarity, or how you continue to find clarity and the surprises along the way.
Well, there are surprises, and I have seen my clarity practice evolve over time. What was at first for me just an instinctive branding thing took me years to sort of backwards reconstruct what the heck I was doing to turn it into a system, which eventually became the book. And so gaining clarity about clarity was a multi-year process.
I bet.
But one of the ironic things was, once I wrote the book toward the end of 2018, I was about 85% of the way through. And I realized that I was dealing with a tree that had two trunks, and I was only writing about one trunk. So there are these principles of clarity. And then there's this outward facing: marketing, sales, get business, get ahead, networking, referrals, this kind of stuff. And that's what I was writing about. But I realized through a lot of my work with corporate clients that there's this whole other side of inward-facing clarity. How do you communicate clearly in an organization? How do you work in cross-functional teams and collaborate clearly?
Right.
How do you build an effective network and gain visibility in a company, which again is clarity about yourself and projecting yourself? How do you work with outside stakeholders like vendors? And it turns out I've been doing a lot of stuff around that. I'd been doing workshops around that for years, but I hadn't arranged it under this clarity umbrella until I'd about finished the book. And then I realized, holy cow, I've got one trunk of this tree and there's this whole other trunk. So ironically, in 2019, I've actually spent much more of my time working on internal clarity and developing workshops that I've been giving for corporate clients.
That's great.
On emerging leaders, how they can become visible in the organization, and how to work collaboratively across. And there's this massive need there too. So it's almost overwhelming. I mean, there are these two areas of massive need of clarity. And I've got my biggest challenge isn't do I have a lot of potential work to do. It's actually one of the chapters in the book talks about how do you narrow down your focus and say, you know, this is my little box. And that's actually been my biggest challenge. I have to keep going back to my own principles and say, you know, get more precise, get more narrow, make your pigeonhole more defined, because it's too easy to go everywhere with clarity.
So that is a challenge. And does the book help you to, does it identify certain questions that you can ask?
Yeah, there are a number of questions. Actually, there are five core questions to clarity, and I stole them right out of good journalism. So the good journalist is supposed to ask what, who, why, when, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
Turns out those are the very questions that make a good brand and make a good, clear statement. The what is exactly what is it that you do? The for whom is who precisely is your target customer that's feeling a specific pain? The why is what's the headache? What's the pain? What's the trouble that somebody's going to open their wallet for? It can't just be something nice. It has to be real pain.
Yeah.
The how is what's the differentiating specific superpower that you or your company has? And then the where is either virtually or really, where are your customers located? Are they local? Are they regional? Are they online? Are they international? It turns out, Deirdre, if you answer those five questions, you've really got the foundation of a clear brand and strategic direction. And the vast majority of companies don't
answer the
questions written down. No, they don't have that.
So do you think it's because companies are feeling that they might see themselves as local, but because technology allows you to be more global, that they're not really pinpointing as clearly as what you just laid out in those questions?
There are 1,000 distractions, and there are a lot of ways to go after revenue. And so what businesses often tend to do is they'll chase revenue. And they'll say, oh, yeah, we can do that. Oh, yeah, we can do that. Oh, yeah, we can do that. And pretty soon they become a commodity.
Right.
And you know, a jack of all trades.
Right.
And there's no differentiating at that point. They're just another penguin on the ice floe. Yeah. So the hardest thing for many businesses to do in gaining clarity is it's an exercise in saying no. It's saying, no, we're not going to do that. No, we're not going to compete there because we can't compete there. No, we're not going to go that kind of customer because we really don't serve that customer well. And that's the river that when we go through a clarity day with companies, every company's got to cross that river.
Right.
If you're going to say yes, which means you're going to say no. And you got to be ready to say, no, that's not my business. Yes, this is my sweet spot.
Yeah. I mean, something also tells me that that comes down to the professional as well, learning to say no. So what I find, even whether you're in a big brand and a corporation and you can't focus and say no to certain things, business professionals themselves have to take a good look to say, no, I can't do this, or no, this is getting me off track, or, you know, yes, this is important and it's good for my brand.
That's exactly correct. That's why doing clarity for companies morphed very rapidly for me into doing company doing clarity for people in career transition, because it's the same thing. People look at this whole range of jobs and say, well, I could do that, or I could do that, or I could work for this kind of company. And you want to come at your career and say, this is the right opportunity for me. Or if you're a small business or a solo business,
right?
This is the right customer for me. This isn't.
Mm-hmm. And have confidence.
It takes confidence. It takes courage to do that. But boy, it's liberating, because it just answers all kinds of questions that just kept plaguing you before.
Absolutely. Just a note on what you said about the clarity internally. It's so important. You mentioned collaboration. I just feel that all of this work that we do always has to start on the inside, because if you are a company and you don't have clarity amongst what you're doing or the collaboration of all of the employees or members, how are you going to put anything out that has clarity? So the kudos to you. The internal work is very, very important.
Well, here's one of my dreams. Okay. So I work, one of my companies has brought me in to do clarity for departments, where, and this branding exercise is for departments and functional areas too. So a company can have these high level mission and vision statements, which are all, you know, nice sounding, nice, aspirational. They really don't give anybody specific direction. What you need to have is clarity at a functional team level, so that people can say, this is the value we bring to the organization. This is our cultural identity as a group. This is what our marching orders are. And then you can get down to clarity of individuals too.
Nice.
So I think one of the biggest ways for companies to grow more efficient is right from the top level, say, we're going to get clarity at the C-suite. We're going to get clarity at every level. And then everybody's going to know what page they're on. So when we want to say, let's get on the same page, you got to have a page. That page has to be your clarity statements.
Exactly. I kind of feel the same way. I do a lot around ethics and communication. And it's almost, that has to be defined on a higher level, but then it does have to take to the teams, and everybody has to understand this ethical communication and define values and be true to those pillars. And that is something that has to go on the inside, because all the communication on the outside is going to represent how
That's
people view the ethics. So a lot of internal work to be done. Steve, you're not going to believe it, but we are just nearing the end of this incredible discussion. So I always like to kind of like round out our discussion with an advice question. So if you would, please share with Women Worldwide, our network, what is it that you can do to find the clarity, to take the steps? How do you move out of your comfort zone so you get to that spot of get referred? What's your quick best advice?
My best advice is to rethink a term that everybody has a negative idea about, and that's the term pigeonhole. None of us want to be pigeonholed because that means, oh no, my opportunities will be limited. But my thesis in the book and in my thesis in all that I do is you do want to be pigeonholed. You want to define your pigeonhole. You want to make it very clear because nobody can refer you unless they know what your pigeonhole is, who you're serving, what the sweet spot is, what the differentiator is. I can't possibly refer Deirdre Breckenridge unless I know what kind of work you're looking for, what kind of client most benefits from you, and what your success stories are. So you got to learn to love your pigeonhole. You've got to, but if you don't know what it is, then you've got to say, I want to know my pigeonhole so I can love it. Because that's going to be the key to getting forward.
Excellent. That's great advice, Steve. Okay, last question. This is super easy. Where can people find out more about you, your book, and your work?
The book can be found, I made up a short link, claritywins.org, and that goes directly to Amazon, where the book can be ordered as either an ebook or a paperback. Website, claritifuel.com. On Facebook, you can find me at King of Clarity. And by the way, I know that sounds like a very presumptuous title, but because somebody else gave it to me, you know, Chris Brogan. Yeah, on my Facebook page a few years ago, he said, "Happy birthday to the King of Clarity."
That's awesome.
I looked at that and I said, "Wow, that's pretty cool branding."
That's pretty cool.
So I embraced it because it's a memory hook. It's a shortcut into the memory. And sure enough, it's absolutely
it's stuck.
Phenomenal. Yeah, it's really stuck.
Thank you, Chris Brogan.
Yeah, and you know, so I'm faux clarity, and then of course on LinkedIn you can just Steve Woodruff and you'll find me. So I'm not too hard to find on Google. Just Google Steve Woodruff.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your journey, sharing how you got to clarity, and of course your book, Clarity Wins. So thanks.
It was such a thanks pleasure. For having me. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Deirdre.
Oh, thank you. Same here. And thank you to all of you for tuning in to Women Worldwide today, whether you're listening on iTunes or you're watching us on YouTube. We really appreciate that you're showing up, and please keep your feedback coming. We are listening, we hear you, and we're delivering the guests that you want on the show. You can always tweet me. I'm at Dee Breckenridge. You can put a comment on the Facebook page or comment on YouTube. And also go to the womenworldwideshow.com and sign up for our updates. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.